You're the only one who brings me peace.
As Pastor Jerry said, we're going to use these 6 weeks leading up to Easter, this Lenten season, as a little school for all of us, that wherever we are, whatever our level is, whatever our experience has been, we want to draw near. We want to learn to pray better. We want to be connected. I was with some people this week, and they're looking for a new place to live. And they said, well, we're crossing our fingers, right? And then they said, no, Pastor, we used to cross our fingers. What we're doing now is we're bending our knees. Ah, that's a different way to look at things, right? When we want things to go well and we make our plans, we ask God to kind of work things out. Hey, bend your knees. Ask God to be there and be part of all these things. You know, most people pray. In fact, prayer is pretty much found all across the world. The anthropologists and the sociologists, people who've gone to all different cultures, they've always found wherever they go, there's always a desire that the people, wherever, whatever culture they're in, they're kind of trying to connect with whoever put all this together, trying to figure out if there's someone out there who have a superior knowledge and superior strength, trying to figure out, you know, how do we connect with them? In a monotheistic, I mean, believing in one God religions, Muslims pray like 5 times a day. Really diligent Jews pray 3 times a day. Christians, well, we have a Book of Common Prayer. We have pastoral prayers. We have private prayer. You know, we're constantly praying all the time and talking about all these things. And so we're always praying. Buddhists, you know, spin their little prayer wheels trying to create harmony and kindness that would bring peace to the world. Hindus pray to multiple gods, and they're always seeking to be connected with a supreme being, to somehow break the cycle of reincarnation and to, you know, find out in their next life, you know, that they're going to be in a better situation. Probably 2 major types of prayer. One would be called inward prayer, the other would be outward prayer. The difference is inward prayer, practiced mostly by Eastern religions. Inward prayer is looking inside yourselves, you know, to kind of see who you are. Many people in Eastern religions they say, look inside yourself, see if you can find God inside you. Well, reflection and self-examination is always good for all of us. But as Christians, we don't really believe in what I would call inward prayer. We're not looking for God inside of us. We believe that God is outside of us, that He is the Creator and we're the created, that He's out there. And so oftentimes we practice outward prayer. We're crying out and saying, God, where are you? God, come speak to me. Sometimes we even get to the complaining part, you know, kind of like, God, why is this happening to me? We're trying to get an audience with Him and get connected with Him in some way. So, you know, I guess Job in the Old Testament, you know the story of Job, with all the, you know, God allowed so many bad things to happen in his life, and he lost so much and lost so many people. On and on these things went, and you kind of wondered, well, Job starts off with kind of complaining, like, God, why are you doing this to me? And then he comes to the point where he's confessing, you know, his situation. Then he's almost really identifying and really appealing to God and saying, God, I know that you're good. And then finally, he's even praising God by the time we get to the end of the book of Job. Quite a progression, quite a journey that he was on with all of these things. And probably you would say, you know, I really would pray more. I think I really would believe more if God would speak to me the way that he spoke to Job. If God would talk to me like he spoke to Job, then I would know that God was really real. Then I could really pray. Well, the truth is, you've got it better than Job's got it. Something's has happened to you. It's even better than what Job knew. It's in Hebrews chapter 1. The very first verses of the book of Hebrews. Listen to what it says. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and at many times and in many various ways. But in these last days, meaning, you know, since, guess what? He has spoken to us by his Son. He's talking about Jesus Christ, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. And this Son, this Jesus Christ that we talk about, He's the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. You see, God has really intervened in our world. He's decided to come into our world. He sent himself, his own son, into the world so that we could hear God's word. We would understand what life was about. We would understand who we are and who God is and how God wants to connect with us in all of these things. And this is the brilliant time that we're in. This is time of revelation. God has shown these things to us. And we just need to kind of wake up and realize what's going on. God has spoken to us and spoken to us by his word. So when Jesus came, the amazing thing about Jesus' life was that he came fully God and fully man, this unique individual in our world, fully sinless, but yet fully having all the same feelings and desires and experiences that we have as human beings. And what did he do? Well, we read again and again in the Bible, he kept going to have private times, sneaking away, kind of hiding himself away from people. And what was he doing? He was praying, connecting with his heavenly Father, and asking for strength, and asking for guidance, and asking for wisdom, and asking that God's power would be used through him. And even he was asking for courage. Remember when he prayed in the garden? He said, God, I don't know how I can go through this, if there's any other way, but it's not what I want. It's not my will, it's your will. Let your will be done in my life. So Jesus is a role model to us and really kind of shows us exactly, how we should pray just by looking at him. Well, God wants us to draw near to him and to have a real experience in prayer. So this morning what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at some scripture, because one of the first things Jesus did in Matthew, as he gave the Sermon on the Mount, he kind of laid out his State of the Union, kind of laid out his State of the World address, saying this is the way the world is and this is what I've come to do and this is what God wants to do in the world. He immediately talks about prayer. In fact, he's going to give us in this passage, when we get to the very end of it, he's going to give us the prayer that he wants us to pray. But he gives us some warnings along the way. So if you'd like to follow along with me, it'll be on the screen. It's also on the insert, on the backside of the insert that you got in the bulletin, Matthew chapter 6. And we'll start in verse 6. Let's read it together. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So this is God's word to us this morning. Let me take a look at all this. Oh, boy. A little embarrassing here. Where was I? Let's see. We're talking about making a connection, right? And being connected with others. These are remarkable things, these things that we have. We can carry them around with us. And I don't know, I have pictures of my grandchildren on this. If you'd like to see, and I have some videos, really, really cute videos. I've met some famous people, and I got some pictures that, this has kind of travels with me everywhere I go. Okay, let's see. Yes. This isn't a good time. Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. All right, thanks. Talk to you later. Isn't it something, right? I mean, we have the ability to communicate and to talk to people all around the world and to receive their message and for them to talk to us and give us help if we need help. And sometimes when we don't even know, we realize we need help. But sometimes what we've done is, you know, we're like the people Jesus talked about. We've taken our little devices. Instead of using them to communicate, we've kind of filled them up with all the things that make us feel good about being us. My pictures, my trips, my accomplishments, my friends. Look at all the likes I have on here. Look at all the comments. Everybody loves me. Can you just look and see how, you know, that we almost kind of hold these up. This is our way to communicate. We're kind of saying, look at me. Look at me. Look how good I am. You know, look how wonderful I am. And Jesus was saying that to the Pharisees, or saying that to the religious leaders. He was saying to his disciples, don't be like these guys who come. They come out and they pray. They come out to the synagogue, or they come out to the street corners, and they stand there and they just pray. They got this holy stance on, and everyone's like, wow, look at that guy, you know? And he said, they think that they're getting all this attention, that we're all looking at them thinking how wonderful they are. He said, they're just doing this for show. I mean, they're saying the right words, and they're going through the motions, but their goal really isn't to pray. Their goal is to be seen by other people. And that's a trap that's so easy to fall into, isn't it? I mean, so many times in our life, we're so concerned about what other people think about us rather than what really God wants to say to us, or what he wants to say to us. You know, we're learning how to pray here at this church. We're never done. In fact, our prayer community meets on Tuesday nights. We're going to be, you know, for these next 6 weeks, we're going to be meeting here in the sanctuary. Usually we meet in the youth building in the back of the parking lot. And as we've been meeting together, we've decided we're going to take on a little 40-day challenge. And we're asking God to work in our lives. We've made lists of things that we'd like to see God do in our own lives that are pretty hard to do. And then we've made a list of things that we'd like to see God do in the lives of people that we care about. And we're committing ourselves to pray every day for 40 days and to pray kind of an extended time, even 30, 40 minutes of prayer. And we came back last week. We just started and doing this whole thing, and we were talking about what had happened. Some people had already seen some prayers answered. I said, well, I'll be honest. I figured out this week I'm really one of Jesus' genuine disciples. I'm really disciple material, because at least twice this week when I was praying, I fell asleep, okay? So I know I'm in with Jesus' guys, okay? I know exactly how that feels. So here I am. I'm trying to be the leader. I'm trying to show everybody else, let's pray, right? And I got the same problems that you've got, right? I'm falling asleep. I can't stay on track. I can't stay focused. I put it out there, and I hear that little ding on my phone, and I go, don't look, don't look. You know, who's calling me? The next thing I know, I got my tablet out. I really need to get back to this person right away. And about 10 minutes later, I look back and go, now, I was praying, wasn't I? You know? And so it's so easy for us to get caught in this, you know, this distracted world with all of these things. And so we're learning. We'd invite you, if you'd like to be a part of, you know, take a 40-day challenge and praying with that, email me, come talk to me. We can figure out how you could be involved, whether you came on Tuesday nights or you did this at home. You know, there's all things for us to learn. And so we're trying to push ourselves forward with all these things. If you ever really want to humble a pastor, if you want to humble me, just ask me, how's my prayer life? Because it's so easy to be a good person doing good things and have your whole schedule filled up and hardly have any time left to pray. I mean, that's the challenge and the difficulty that we have. We know we should pray. We believe in prayer, but we just never seem to have any time to do it because we're so busy with everything else. And we live in a very distracting world. You know, I always say my wife tells me that I have CPA. You've heard me say this, right? She says, I have this syndrome called CPA. It's called constant partial attention. I'm always saying, yes, I'm listening, dear. And she's always like, you're not listening. You have earbuds on. You're watching the ESPN. You know, I'm talking to you and you're telling me you're listening. You've got your mind three other different places, right? And I guess the same thing happens even when we're trying to pray and connect with God. And so we want God to speak to us and to help us with that. This morning, we're going to give you just three little keys for prayer. We're going to talk about this over the next few weeks, so you're going to learn a lot that we're going to have. So this morning, let's do this. Here's three things from the scripture this morning. First one is this. Find a private place to pray. Jesus said, you know, look, don't be like these guys going out on the street corners, doing it for show, putting on a display. No. Go into your house, find a room, close the door, and go in there and be, you know, alone and do your praying in there. Now, that's pretty good advice. And I think the reason Jesus is giving it to us is that he says, listen, a lot of times you're going to be convinced that maybe you can just pray in front of other people, and not only will you be praying, but then you'll be building your reputation as being a righteous, holy person. Now, this kind of hits close to home with me, because guess what? I get paid to pray, right? I'm an employee of the church. Every week I get to stand up here and pray for you guys. And that's my job. Wow, what a great job, right? But you know what's really dangerous is if I only pray when I'm in front of you. If I'm only doing it because, you know, you're here, that somehow this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what you expect me to do. This is what I'm doing to kind of fulfill my job description and keep my reputation up with all of you. Listen, the more important thing in my life is my private prayer life. How do I pray when you're not around? When I'm all by myself? When you know, I can do anything I want to do. How important is prayer at that point in my life? And that's what Jesus is really getting at here. He says, listen, put yourself in a situation where there's nobody else watching you. No, you're not getting any extra credit for this. You know, you're all by yourself. No one will know what you're doing. If I'm that important, if God's that important in your life, that you would use those moments to pray, now you're really understanding the relationship God wants to have with us. So he said, don't put on a show. Go do it in private and really pray. Let God be there. Now, I would say this, just as a suggestion to you. In these days, in the Bible days, obviously when people went into a room to pray, that was a way to get away from all the distractions. Usually those rooms were pretty sparse, pretty little decoration, just little private places in these houses. You close the door, you were by yourself. In our world, guess what? Well, you know the joke, right? People say, my parents used to send me to my room when I was bad. These days, you send a kid to their room when they're bad. Is that punishment? I don't think so, right? So their rooms are like our rooms. You know, I got a tablet in my room, and my phone's in my room, and I got a TV in my room, and I got all these things. And so if I go in there and say, well, I'm going to go in and pray, guess what? I've got five things saying, turn me on, check the news, check the weather, all these other things. So you might even think that in our culture, it might even be smarter to leave your house, to walk outside. You know, they say these days you could practically go take a walk around your neighborhood and nobody will bother you, right? Find a place where you can go and be by yourself, whether it's in your house or outside of your house. Some place where you can be focused and less distractions. Leave your phone at home or turn it off and kind of say, I'm giving this time, whether it's 10 minutes or 20 minutes or more, and say, God, I really want to be connected to you. I really want your word to be stronger to me than anything else. I really want to get to know you. Well, here's the second key. He says, well, you can see the slide here. I just want to emphasize everything I just said about getting alone with God. Look at Jesus. It was a priority to him. And I think I got a long way to go to even get close to where he was. was a priority to him, and he said this was essential fuel for his life, well, then I need to fill up too. And so if Jesus made it a priority, then I should make it a priority to spend time. Okay, here's the second key for the morning. Second key is that we should pray to your Father. I mean, this, maybe you've gotten so used to this because we say that our Father who art in heaven, maybe it doesn't make a big difference to you. But in the days when Jesus came and said these words, this just shook everybody up. And people still, I think, have a hard time grasping this. God always seemed that he was distant. He was mighty, he was powerful, but he was way out there. It would be like, you got an invitation to go to the Supreme Court. I've known a few friends who've been lawyers and they've gotten to go and argue some cases there, and they talk about how scared they are to be in that situation, to have to have to get the right words, they have to say it in the right way, they have a certain amount of time to say it, and they have to be, and they're scared to death to do this whole thing. A lot of people feel the same way about approaching God, like somehow he's the supreme judge. And if we don't say the right words, we don't say it in the right way, that somehow we're not going to be heard. And Jesus comes along and says, he's not a distant king. He's your Father. He actually uses the Aramaic word, which is Abba, A-B-B-A. He's your Abba Father. He says, pray to your Father who is unseen. And instead of looking up and kind of saying, oh, whatever the great spirit, whatever the mighty power is up there. No, he's your Father. He knows your voice. He knows who you are. This morning when we dedicated little Ava, God knows her. He sees her. He's aware. And he knows Peter, and he knows Janice. He knows Jack. He knows all of us. And he says, talk to me. Call me up. How many of you as parents wish your kids called you more? Oh, come on. How many of you wish that you could talk to your parents more? Yes, right? Especially when we lose our parents suddenly. When my father died, the month after he died, I thought of 1,000 questions I should have asked him. And I was thinking, what was I doing all those years we were together? I never asked him this. I never asked him about that. And, once they're gone, then you kind of say, oh, my goodness. And God says, listen, I'm your Father. Come and talk to me about everything in your life. Open your life up to me. And call me Abba. Back up the slide, just one. You probably remember this from the 60s. Remember when John Kennedy was the president of the U.S. and had little John, little JFK Jr. And this picture was just kind of, we love this picture, right? Here's the man, one of the most powerful men in the world, the leader of the free world, and his little son is underneath the desk, just playing, looking around. And you kind of get that picture and you kind of say, that's what we're talking about here. God, who's in charge of the whole world, who built the whole universe, who knows and sees everything, guess what? He says, you can sit under my desk. I know your name. That's how much I love you. You're my child. And little John could look back at his father and say, Uppy, Uppy. He could say, cracker, cracker. And he knew that his father was caring for him. His father was looking out for him. That's what Jesus means when he says that we have an Abba Father. God is a father of warmth and tenderness. He welcomes us. He gives us kindness and forgiveness. He gives us help in all these things. He connects with us. He wants us to be wise. He's willing to train us and help us. When we fall down, he comes and picks us up. He is our Father. He loves us. So pray to your Father. Don't pray to some, mysterious, unknown force out there. Call him by his name, my Father in heaven. And speak to him. Talk to him through Jesus and say, Jesus, my Lord. And know that he listens to you and that you don't have to cross your fingers to get things to work out. God's very much busy at helping things happen in your life. Okay, third key. Here we go. Then we're done. Third thing that we want to talk to you today and that is use real words. Jesus says, listen, you hear people praying, don't be like the pagans, they just babble on and on and on. Babble is one of those onomatopoeia words, you know, that it sounds like what it is. It's just da 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 da. And we just, you know, and we say, well, that's prayer. Well, sometimes quantity of prayer isn't as good as quality of prayer. Quantity of prayer is, well, how many times could I say the Our Father? Could I say it 10 times? Could I say it in 10 times in a minute? Well, you might be able to. But does that really, is that 10 times better than saying it once, slowly, and really meaning it and thinking about it? Jesus says, listen, don't be in the business of just, you know, repeating yourself and you know, just repetitious prayer. Speak from your heart. Yes, you can pray the Our Father. Jesus gave us a wonderful prayer. He kind of covers all the topics in terms of the things that are important to us and how to relate to him. It's kind of a good framework to build your life on. But in almost each phrase, we ought to be, you know, thinking about how it applies to us. And so don't be afraid to use real words and to tell Jesus what you're talking about. You know, sometimes, you know, it's almost like fake praying when we just are repeating something with over and over and over again. So tell him your struggles. I sometimes use this method. I tell Jesus what I'm mad about. Because you can complain to him. I'm mad about this, okay? You can tell Jesus what you're sad about. You can open up and tell God your Father, you know, what you're afraid of, what's possibly going to happen. And you can tell him what you're glad about, what you're thankful for. I mean, sometimes we use those little phrases that kind of in marriage, our marriage classes, that the way couples get to know each other and really find out what's going on in each other's lives is to talk to each other and say, here's what I'm mad about, here's what I'm sad about, here's what I'm afraid of, and here's what I'm glad about. Well, you talk to God in the same way. And let him know what's happening. And he'll begin to help you to pull all these things through with all that. Now, you kind of say, well, does God really ever speak to us? Well, sometimes he does. Some people actually can hear him speak. And I think that, you know, I don't hear of people who get long dissertations or long messages, but I've got a friend who's heard God speak. He said three times. One time I was with him. We were riding our bicycles across the United States. We were in Louisiana on Father's Day. We just left Monroe. We were on our way east to cross the bridge over into Mississippi. We were riding on a road when nobody was on. It was Sunday afternoon. We were riding kind of out in the main part of the road on our side of the yellow line, but just talking. All of a sudden, he said, Jack, move over. And we suddenly just moved over. No sooner than we moved over, this red sports car came by, and I could have touched it as it came by. And I said, what's that guy's problem? My friend Rick said, I don't think he had a problem. I think he was asleep. And no sooner than he said asleep, the car went off the road, down into the ditch, came up on the back, across the road, over onto the other ditch. In Louisiana, the ditches are really deep. Went into the ditch, came up, hit a telephone pole, turned around, upside down, came down, landed on its roof. Whew. We tried our best to save his life, but he passed before the ambulances got there. I mean, it was a scary situation. A lot more details. I'll just say this. When everybody, the ambulances, the police, and everybody had left, all the trucks had stopped and everything else, and everybody got up to leave, we went to get on our bicycles, and suddenly I took about three strokes on the bicycle. My legs started shaking, and I'm like, I can't ride. I looked at my buddy Rick, and I said, how did you know to move over? He said, Jack, I heard a voice. I've heard that voice before. It said, move over. And said, when I heard the voice, I just did what it said right away. I said, if we hadn't done that, he would have hit us from behind. I don't know where we would have ended up. So sometimes God does speak to us. Sometimes it's just one word. Sometimes he gives us a message in our heart that we know what's right. It's they're our own thoughts, but God's kind of letting us know, hey, this is the right way to do things. He's made things clear in my mind, things that I haven't been able to sort out, like what comes first and who should do this. And then all of a sudden it just kind of like goes, oh, that's the person. This is when we should do it. And you kind of go, God really helps me. Pulls this thing together. And then there are times where God speaks through his word. That we read his word and we understand when we read this and kind of go, oh, now that's what I should do. And see how God can makes this thing happen in all these ways. So don't be afraid to tell God what's really on your mind and let him speak back to you. We'll talk more about this in the weeks to come. But listen, here's the last question of the day. If God really knows exactly what I need, and if he really already knows what's going on and how it's going to happen, what's the question? Yeah, why should I tell him? If God already knows, what's the point? Am I just out wasting his time telling him something that he already knows? Well, listen, God loves us. He wants to interact with us. If you've had children or grandchildren, is there anything better than when they come and snuggle up beside you and they just want to be with you? They just want to ask what's on TV or what's for dinner? And they just want to like be around and, you know, be with you and all these things. Sometimes we get a little annoyed or irritated. But you know what? There's nothing better than having that connection. And that's the connection God wants to have with us. He wants us to be close to him. He doesn't want to be an ATM for us. God, give me what I want. Give it to me now. He's not into magical words. We don't have to say abracadabra or say certain words and certain prayers in certain ways, get certain people. God knows your voice. He wants to hear your voice. You'd ask him for anything that you need, and God will help you with all that. He'll give you an answer. So last thing we're going to say today is let's get plugged in. Let's get plugged into the power of God. And there are going to be many opportunities here in these weeks to come where you can do it, not just learning things, but actually putting it into practice. And you'll probably be like me. You'll intend to do well, and you'll not always fulfill everything that you intended. But guess what? We're going to learn. We're going to put it together. And on these days of prayer at the church, on Tuesdays and Saturdays, we invite you to come. Nobody will coerce you or force you to do something. There'll be several different opportunities. We'll have different places in the church where you can pray in different ways. You decide what you want to do. But just come. And let God begin to speak to you. Maybe even take home the instruction sheet and do this at home. But let's work on this. Let God speak to us in our life. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning. Thank you that you know us. Thank you that you care about us. We've had some hard things in our life. Some unexpected problems and pain. But through all this, you've been there with us. We've learned some hard lessons, but God, you've been faithful. And so God, we want to know you better. We live in a world that kind of constantly, you know, tries to keep us from paying attention to you. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we so easily put our eyes on other things that don't really matter. And help us, Father, to really focus on who you are and show us how to live our lives. We thank you for Jesus and his example to us. And we pray that we might seek our Father in heaven the way that he sought his Father and work in our lives. Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.